But sometimes God likes it when we switch our way up. Because do you know the way we do things can become religious habit? Did you know that? It can become just a form, and then we think God can't move in any other way. So we're mixing it up. I really felt like I needed to do the message before worship today, because we're starting a new series called Build a Fire. I don't know how many of you know this, but July 22nd and 23rd, there's going to be a huge event in Cleveland. And it's called Azusa Now. Azusa is the record of the first falling, not the first, the huge falling of the Holy Spirit that happened out in California. And so there's the anniversary of that was last year. And this man had a passion to see that happen again on the anniversary. So he held this huge event in the LA Coliseum, and I heard 65,000 people came and prayed and worshiped and listened to teaching and just had this two-day fire conference, right? This year, when he was thinking about it, he felt like the Lord said, go to Cleveland and do the same thing. Did you guys know this was happening? Is that amazing? He said he felt like Ohio was the heart of the nation, and so he wanted to bring a huge team of people to Cleveland. I know, right? And so that's happening on July 22nd and 23rd. The 23rd is a Sunday, but it's happening, I think it starts at 4 or 5. It's later in the day after service. But Pastor Dave and I were talking, and we were like, we really want to have a theme this month that ties into preparing for that event, because I want as many of you to experience that as possible. I believe we're going to make history. I do. I believe it's going to be that significant, especially for Cleveland and this area of Northeast Ohio, but also for the whole nation. I believe for years, people will be talking about what happens in Cleveland on July 22nd and 23rd. And so I want to be part of that. And what we want to do starting today is we want to build a fire. We want to build a fire, okay? So that's what I'm going to be speaking about. But before I do that, I want to just let you know that we had a crazy awesome VBS for 3 days. Janet talked about it earlier. And I just want to show you a picture first of the team from Salem, Ohio, a church called Real Life, who came and helped us pull off a shockingly amazing VBS. We left the decorations in the foyer just so you could get a little taste of what happened for the past week. There were people here Monday and Tuesday night decorating until very late. And there was a Mitchell's trip somewhere in there too, because, you know, we are good church people and we like to eat. And then Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, there was that team. And then there was also a whole team of people from Oak River Church. If you helped out in any way for VBS, would you stand? Woo! Yeah, way to go. Yeah, it was so good. Okay, have a seat. I'm going to show you just a 30-second clip from the song that the kids did all week. So fun. I want to also say a big thanks to the Davidson family, Jeff and Amber and Summer and Jalen and Brooke. They all worked like crazy. It wasn't just one or two of them. It was the whole family. The whole family. I could not believe how organized the crafts and stuff were. Amber had that ready and laid out, and Jalen and Summer and Brooke all helped. Jeff helped. It was just an amazing event. And this team that came from Salem Real Life, Right now, I just want to stop and pray a blessing over them. Lord, I thank you for Real Life Church in Salem, Pastor Jim and Laura. I pray that you would bless them for everything they've sown into Oak River and into this area of Ohio. They worked hard for us and for the city of Cleveland, serving homeless people and just ministry time every moment of the day. And I pray that you would just pour back into them many, many, many times over into their lap, everything they poured out. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. It was a good time. And if you do want to help us take down decorations in the foyer, that wouldn't hurt our feelings. I'm just saying, it really wouldn't hurt our feelings at all if you wanted to help with that. It shouldn't take long. Also, we have a church, the famous church picnic coming up on July 16th. So I want to pass these around while I'm speaking and have you sign up for what you would like to bring for that. It's a great, fun event. It's going to be at Sunny Lake. Thank you. At Sunny Lake Park. Can you make sure every section gets it, even though we only have two?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks. You're good at that. It's just a fun time to come and eat together, bring a side dish or a dessert or whatever, bring your own beverages, and we'll have the hamburgers and dogs, and it'll just be fun. It's at a park in Aurora about 10 or 15 minutes from here, and there's a nice playground, there's horseshoes, there's volleyball, there's a pond you can paddle boat in or canoe in. It's just a fun time. So I'd love to see you there. There's more information in the program if you need it. Wanted to tell you all of that before I talk about what God put so, so beautifully on my heart this week. There are some times when I'm getting ready to prepare for a message, and it's like, anybody who prepares a message knows this is true. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth. Sometimes it's like, oh, I don't know, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do this? And it's really hard, right? And then other times it's like God unzips your brain and just pours. That's what he did this week, and it was so fun because I had a busy week, obviously, with VBS. This week he just went, I'm going to make it really easy, unzip, like that. So I'm anxious to share this with you, because if you're going to build a fire, there's one ingredient that you have to have in order to build a fire, and it's not a physical ingredient. You know what it is? It's intentionality. You have to make a decision to build a fire. You have to be intentional about what you want to do. And as I was thinking about this, I thought of this illustration. Rich, can you pull that chair off and put it over there for me? So let's say I was invited to just take it over there in the corner. Let's say I was invited to a July 4th party this week on Tuesday. And I said, sure, I'll come. So I have to be intentional. Not you. I was going to sit in it. No, you're not in the corner. You're not in trouble. It's me. So I decide to go to the July 4th party, right? And I get there. And I sit down. And I look around at everybody having fun. And somebody says, hey, Sandy, you want to play cornhole? I'm good. I'll just sit right here. Thanks. And then a little while later, somebody says, hey, Sandy, did you bring your good sweet tea with lemonade in it? Because, you know, I'd like some of that. Yeah, I brought it. It's over there. Do you want some? No, I'm good. I'm good. Hey, Sandy, here's a burger. You want a burger? No, I'm good. I'll stay right here. Hey, Sandy, you want a hot dog? Nope, I'm good. Nope. Y'all go ahead. Hey, Sandy, let's play volleyball. You want to play volleyball? No, y'all go ahead. I'm part of the y'all go ahead ministry. Y'all go ahead, right? Now, I was at the party, but did I fully, intentionally take part of the party? Not so much. Is it work to party? No. But you do have to make a decision to be involved. You have to make a decision to be engaged. Now, of course, do I have the freedom to sit over there and do what I did? Absolutely. But did I take full advantage of the opportunity to be with people, to converse with people, to have fun, to have some good eats? No, I didn't. And week after week after week, I wonder across the churches of our world, how many people come in and they sit in the chair? And they somehow feel like they're doing all that they can to be part of a community, and yet they never get out of their chair. They never enter in on any part. And I just want us to talk and look at today what it means to be intentional in building a fire. What does it mean to be intentional? Because it doesn't happen by itself. It just doesn't happen. Here's the funny thing about freedom. We're celebrating freedom this Tuesday, right? We're celebrating independence. Freedom doesn't happen to you. You just have to step into it. It doesn't come in, okay, freedom. Yeah, that has happened. Jesus has made it possible for all of us to be free. But there's a step that we have to take. And it's not work, it's not hard, it's restful. But there's an intentionality that has to take place where we step in to freedom. The passage we're going to look at today is found in Luke 8. And it's the only passage we're going to look at today. I want to make it really simple. Luke chapter 8, if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn in your Bibles. Or if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn in your Bibles. Doesn't matter to me. I won't assume you're on Facebook if you're on your phone. I'll assume you're reading your Bible. Unless you want to do Facebook Live and say, I'm here at Oak River Church. That's fine. Whatever. I'm good. Right? Luke chapter 8, one of the most beautiful stories of intentionality in the scripture that I can find. I love the intentionality that I see in this passage. We start out in verse 40, and it says this, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. He's just set someone free from a bunch of demons, and then he crossed over to the other side of the lake, and it says this, they were waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. Talk about intentionality. Jairus says, hey man, I know you're quite the rage right now. Everybody's talking about you. Everybody's talking about you on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. There are so many stories about you. But here's the thing. My daughter, who's 12 years old, is dying, and I need you to come home with me. Intentionality, right? Total intentionality. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. Now, Jairus definitely had intentionality, but that's not the one we're going to look at today. You can read the rest of the story after the sermon today sometime. Verse 43, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Now, we're going to pause there for a moment. I want you to think about the fact that this woman had suffered for 12 years with an issue of blood, it was called in some translations. That might not be your issue, but how many of you know you have issues? I have issues. We all have issues, right? Some of us have been suffering with our issues for a long time. Where it says she could find no cure, most of the original translations actually say this: she spent all of her living on physicians. Think about that. In order to spend all of your living on physicians, you not only spend money, but you invest emotional energy and mental energy. She had poured everything she had, every bit of herself, into finding a cure, and yet hopeless. No cure could be found. The next verse, 44, says, coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Intentionality, right there. You see, there was a whole crowd of people, And we have no idea whether she had really ever been personally exposed to Jesus. We just know that for some reason, all of the hope she had put into doctors were dashed. And she says, I imagine she was saying, this is my last chance. I've got to bust through the crowd. Can you imagine what she had to do to get to him? She had to be super intentional to get to him. Then I find it really interesting that it says that she touched the fringe of his robe. Because in Jesus' day, the only people who wore fringes on their robes were religious Jews. I thought Jesus wasn't religious. He wasn't in the sense that we think of, but he looked like a Jewish teacher. Isn't that interesting? Because I don't know, I always thought of him looking different. Did you? Like, he didn't look like a Pharisee. But he was wearing the robe of a Pharisee. I found that interesting. That's never struck me until this week. I'm not saying I'm going to wear fringes next week. I'm just saying sometimes we miss important details, you know? I don't think Jesus was afraid to be identified as a Jewish teacher, even though they were given a pretty bad rap in his day. Maybe he came to break the mold, and so that's why he wore it. Maybe. I don't know. Then verse 45, who touched me? Jesus asked. Now, can you imagine the lunacy of that question? That's crazy. I'm sorry. That's nuts. Who touched me? There are people crowding in around him, pushing up against him, trying to get to him, saying, please pray for me. Jairus is trying to pull him along through the crowd to get to his daughter. And Jesus said, who touched me? But the interesting part of that word touched, the original Greek word is haptos, H-A-P-T-O-S, haptos, right? You know what that means? Did not know this until this week after Dave and I had come up with a theme, build a fire. The word actually means to set fire to ignite. That's what it actually means. Ah, somebody had the ability to set fire to Jesus, the Son of God. Right? That blows my mind. Here's what I think happened. I think the fire of her faith came into contact with the fire of his power. And there was a explosion that took place in the spirit world. I believe Jesus longs. When we have worship, I believe Jesus longs for us to bring the fire of our faith to him and touch him with it. Because when we do, there's no stopping it. The fire in him can't help but respond to the fire in us. That's the way he made us. What does that look like? To put your fire to Jesus' fire. For you, it might look like jumping and dancing and raising your hands. For you, it might be falling on your face. For you, it might be standing still in holy reverence. We make a big deal around Oak River of not putting people in a box and trying to make you look a certain way. However, having said that, it's easy during worship to be this person, to be not engaged, to be sitting and looking around at everybody else who is engaged, and to be detached. Jesus loves it when we bring our fire to his fire. He loves it. He loves it. He celebrates it. But it takes intentionality. It doesn't happen by itself. Any more than me having a burger or a dog or playing cornhole happens without me getting up out of that seat. It's not going to happen. It takes intentionality. Continuing on in verse 45, everyone denied it, and Peter said, Master, the whole crowd is pressing up against you. I just love Peter. He cracks me up because he says what the rest of us are thinking but don't have the courage to say. Like, I can just hear him going, you've got to be kidding me. Who touched you? Really? First of all, you're omniscient. You should know. Second of all, everybody's touching you. But the word that Peter used, everyone is pressing up against you, was not haptos. The word was, everybody's crowding around you. Sometimes we're content on Sunday morning to come in and be part of the crowd. And Jesus is saying, who's going to touch me today? Who's going to touch me? Who's going to move to a different place in the sanctuary just because they want to be in a different place and touch me? Remember when we had the Sunday where I wouldn't let you sit in your normal seats? Oh my goodness, people are still talking about it. We get so comfortable, don't we, in our little corners. I mean, I've sat here, so I'm not throwing stones. I sit here every time. Can I tell you a clue, though? I don't sit on the front row because I'm the pastor. I sit on the front row because I have just enough ADD that if I'm sitting at the back, I get distracted by everything I see. That is the truth, I'm telling you. That is the truth. So I intentionally come up to the front. I intentionally move away from my seat during worship and step up here because I don't want to even see anybody in my peripheral vision, because I really want to be intentional about touching Jesus with my fire and letting his fire touch me. It's a decision. Verse 46, but Jesus said, no, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out of me. Now, here's what I found shocking that I've never known until this week. I love that you can study the Bible your whole life and learn something all the time. Yes. Wow. Only God can do that, right? What I learned this week was that when he said, someone deliberately touched me for I felt healing power go out of me, that word power is dunamis. Do you know the other time that word is used? One of many, but the other time that comes to my mind immediately is in Acts, when Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you know what that means? This lady who had her issue, she somehow tapped into Holy Spirit power before the Holy Spirit even came to the earth. The fire of her faith accessed something that had not even been made available to humankind yet. And she was healed instantly because of it. We have full access. It's already been given. We just got to ignite our power, our faith to his power and see what happens. And the cool thing about that explosion is you don't know what's going to happen. You might cry. You might laugh. You might dance. You might fall. You might just sing in awe. You don't know what's going to, you might be healed. You might speak in a different language. You don't know what's going to happen when you touch the fire of your faith to the fire of his power. But you just go, let it be. Whatever's going to be, let it be. I could break out in song, let it be, let it be. Sorry. I've loved music my whole life, and so when I hear a phrase or I say a phrase, a song just shoo, comes through my head. Okay. Verse 46, I said, but Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. Verse 47, when the woman realized she could not stay hidden. Wait, pause. Why was she trying to stay hidden and then trembling at the thought of being discovered? Here's why. Because in her condition with an issue of blood, she was considered unfit and unclean for society. She wasn't even allowed to be in a crowd touching people. She was breaking every rule by busting through the crowd to get to Jesus. She was definitely breaking the rule by touching Jesus. I think that's why she went for his fringe. Just a thought. She was like, I don't want to make him unclean, but I want to touch him. I need to touch him. Side note, in the Old Testament, when someone who was unclean touched a priest or a teacher, the priest or a teacher became unclean. They had to go into seclusion and go through a ceremonial cleansing process to become clean. Not when Jesus came. When Jesus came, someone who was unclean touched Jesus. He didn't become unclean. They became clean. Can you imagine we get to be alive in this day where anyone who touches us who's unclean, we don't become unclean, they get clean? Can you tell that excites me? Oh my goodness. Not only was she required to stay away from society, she was required to stay far away from the tabernacle in her condition, which means she had to stay far away from the social epicenter of her people. That's where everything happened. Potlucks out the wazoo at the tabernacle, right? That's where everything happened that had to do with any of her family, any of her siblings, if she had them, her parents, her cousins, everything happened there at the tabernacle. She wasn't allowed to go. Think about that for 12 years. I'm feeling lonely. Remember this lady and ask yourself, really? I found this out. She could not even eat consecrated food. So seriously, if there was a family potluck and the food had been consecrated by the priest, she couldn't eat it. She couldn't even have the fellowship of a meal with those she loved. I don't know if she was married or not. It's family worship, so I'm going to put this delicately if I can. She and her husband were not allowed to be physically intimate as long as she was in that condition. So if she was married, she had had physical distance from the one she loved most. So of course she came trembling and falling to her knees in front of him. The last thing about her condition is that by coming forward and admitting what she had done, she was under threat of divine retribution. Jesus, as a representative of God, could have said anything he wanted, and it probably would have been carried out. Off with her head, out of the city, you know. He could have said a lot of different things, and probably it would have been accomplished because she was under threat of divine retribution by admitting she had come into a crowd and pushed through and touched a teacher. Then it says, the whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Oh, I love that. We skip over that part. She was immediately healed from an issue she had for 12 years. Boom. Done. Nothing gradual. Just immediate. Immediate. Verse 48, daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You don't have to worry about what I'm going to say. You don't have to worry about what I think. You don't have to worry about any of that. Not only are you healed, you get to go in peace and live the life the way I wanted you to live. I believe so much in my heart that many of us come in Sunday after Sunday after Sunday carrying issues. It may not be an issue of blood like she had, but it's an issue. And we sit over in the corner, figuratively, and we wait for something to happen. She didn't just come and sit by Jesus. She intentionally made her way to him. Sometimes we go to church because it's what you're supposed to do. Somehow earns you points with the big guy. So I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do some good stuff there. I'll even bring a can of food for the homeless. But I'm getting points at least, right? No, it's not about that. It's not about that. I believe God is calling us at Oak River to move from the crowd into a place where we can touch Him. I just believe it. I believe He's saying, are you willing to step out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to be embarrassed? Do you know what kind of embarrassment she would have suffered at having that exposed? I get embarrassed talking about it on some level, really. Like, she would have been humiliated. She cared more about her healing than she cared about her humiliation. At some point, there's a point where the light becomes greater than the pain. There's a great song right now by Switchfoot called Let the Light, the wound is where the light shines through. The wound is where the light shines through. God is longing for us to exalt His brilliance above our pain, to measure our issues up against His majesty. And watch what happens. There will be an explosion. Maybe you came today and your fire is blazing. Hearing that 15 kids got saved at VBS, your fire is all the better. Bring your big fire and let it touch His big fire and watch what happens. Right? But maybe you have a fire that's like a little ember. It's like you're trying to make one little spark. Please go. Right? Doesn't matter. Whether it's a little ember you're desperately blowing on or whether it's a blazing fire, I invite you as we go back into worship. Worship team, you want to go ahead and come up? That would be awesome. Thank you. I invite you to bring your fire to Jesus' fire. Bring your passion to Jesus and watch what He does with it. Watch what He does with it. I don't know what He's going to do. I'm not going to prophesy that. I just know it's going to be good because He is good. For some of you, that might mean stepping up here. I don't want to go up there. What if Pastor Dave dances on top of me? He'll be careful. For some of you, that just means you stand at all. For some of you, it means you sit and you engage into what Jesus wants to do. And you say, God, I bring my passion to You. I touch You with my fire. I intentionally come to You. Whatever the case, there's no judgment around here. I'm not going to be looking around going, who's engaging? Who's touching Jesus? I'm the part of the police squad. Who's touching Jesus? Nope, not going to do that. Because I'm going to be fully engaged. And so I invite you today to be intentional during worship. Don't be satisfied with being part of the crowd. Who got touched? The woman who touched. Right? So stand if you would like and be part of what God wants to accomplish during worship today.